Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
The whole squad's back together for another edition of Zero Block 30, and today we have five rounds in the magazine. Round number one, bitch, it's called art. You ever heard of it? Look it up sometime. Former Secretary of Defense and revered Murray General Jim Mattis was honored with a formal painting this week, and one small detail has people riled up. Round number two, one of the last Tuskegee Airmen has died at the age of 99. We take a trip through history of what the Red Tails did in the face of racial adversity during World War II. Round number three, the VA is undergoing big reforms from reviews from different department facilities, overhauls of caregiver stipends, and community care challenges. Okay, I fucking hate when I write it and then you go in and add all this shit.
Yours is like, VA's making changes. We talked to Dan Colo about those changes. Snooze fest, jazz it up, guys.
Round number four, American nerds versus Iranian nerds. After Iran downed one of our surveillance drones, America adjusted our very thick glasses, geared up our pocket protector, and cracked our knuckles at the keyboard to hit them where it hurts. Round number five, with Rough and Rowdy coming up just outside of Fort Bragg, we're a little nervous for Big Cat because, as you know, he sings the national anthem at every single Rough and Rowdy fight. But this audience is going to be a little bit different. We want to remind them that it could go very, very bad, so we're going to pull up some celebrity versions from the past where they were butchered. The national anthem was butchered, that is. Let's get going with the show, which today is brought to you by our friends at Dollar Shave Club. I've been using Dollar Shave Club for many years. It's how I smell amazing. I mean, everybody knows that they have great razors, they have great shave butter, they have great shower gel, they have all that stuff. But what you need to know, well, a lot of people don't know, is that their cologne smells wonderful. And it's blue. 102 is the one that's divine. They send you six. There's a red and there's a white. But the blue 102 is the way to go because it'll have K. Marco smelling you up whenever you go into the office, just like he did. Right now, you can get one of those $5 starter sets for just $5. Their amazing starter set starts at $5, and that's all you need. They have everything to get you an amazing shower, a close shave, or clean teeth. The best part is it's just $5. Dealing with drains when you have a teenage girl, pain in the ass. That's a pain in the ass. There's all kinds of hair. What do you guys do, Kate?
Oh, man. I can't believe I'm not bald because so much of my hair comes out when I'm in the shower. And I usually like pull it and then I stick it on the wall. And then by the end of the week, there's like a huge clump of hair on the wall.
Ew. Yeah.
Girls are terrible. Every time now living with a female, I just find myself singing in my head Dashboard Confessional, screaming infidelities.
Yeah. Your hair is everywhere. Yep, it's everywhere. I don't know how any of us. Yeah, it's crazy. So you're dealing with drain problems.
Yeah, dealing with drain problems. And I got, you know, those, there's these orange things that look like essentially, do you know those, remember those toys where you could rip the cord and the toy car would go flying across the room?
Yes.
Yeah.
It looks like one of those and you shove it down inside the drain.
Right.
The things that I pulled up from the drain, it is like Cousin It has been living in my fucking pipes. I don't know how my house hasn't exploded. I'm basically about to have a Chernobyl in this bitch.
Oh, yeah. That's why whenever I go to somebody else's house, that's when I shave my pubes.
Yeah. Let it get going. That being said, I did have, when I first started shaving my head, a nightmare because it's tiny little hairs that I shave every Sunday now. I'm back on Sunday haircuts, and I will get all the little clippings from the sink, put them in the toilet and flush, but it's a two flush job for all these hair clippings. And if I don't stick around for the second one, whenever I come back in, I'm like, oh God, what's in the toilet? Did I diarrhea and not flush? I'm not wearing my glasses, just hair clippings.
Your tiny hair clippings is a two flush job is what I'm stuck on right now. That's okay.
Interesting. Chaps, you know, it's interesting to note though too, I am much more cautious, or I was more cautious, flushing things in my home that I own versus my apartment that I rent right now. Mm. Now I'll put anything in that toilet because if it breaks, I don't know, I'll call maintenance, they'll fix it. Versus when I owned a home, there were certain things I just wouldn't flush down the toilet that they say you shouldn't put in there, like Q-tips and things like that.
Oh, I flush Q-tips big times. I love that. You know, they have these big bags that you're supposed to put for septic tank health, like where you dump it in the toilet and you're supposed to do it like every 2 months. That's a highlight of my week. It's like just basically like putting it in there and it's like kitty litter. I'm just like, man, look at it. Look at how much that thing sucks up. It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a toilets.
Good little you guys side.
You guys are a real treat.
What I started doing recently too? I got those things that turn the water blue.
Oh yeah. That's fancy. Really fun. You know, they offer scented ones now that are essentially, like poopery, but it's constantly in your toilet where it gives the constant little thing of poopery. So nobody even knows if you shit.
Well, that was definitely something I should investigate because it would go a long way in my house.
Well, because of your stomach, because of Iraq, right,
Kate? Yes. Yes. As you know, as you well know.
All right, let's get going with the actual show with somebody who is very familiar with Iraq, and that's our guy, General Mattis. So he had his official Department of Defense Secretary portrait hung in the hallway, and that's a big moment for any secretary. That's a big moment for anybody. Anytime that you're enshrined in a hallway, that's a good day.
It's a secretary's hallway. I'm assuming it's in the Pentagon.
I have no idea. In the Pentagon, yep.
Mm-hmm. Because these are not small paintings either.
Oh, no.
Big oil canvas paintings.
And was he like, I'm done? Or was he retiring? Or was he like, I'm stepping down because I hate this?
No,
I should know.
Remember, we actually talked about it pretty extensively, Kate. Oh? Surprised you don't remember it. But he issued a letter saying that there are some things that he didn't agree with from the administration. So he was going to step aside so that the president could have a department. The Secretary of Defense, who was more in line with the president's thinking on some foreign relations matters.
Well, I'm glad I asked you that as a refresher, because I think it reflects a lot in the painting that we have here, because he stepped down. There was a little bit of tea everybody was sipping because he was like, F you guys, I'm out, pretty much, in his letter. He looks like, in this painting that's in the hallway, first of all, the whole entire background is just gray, and he's standing in front of the sign that just says Department of Defense. And then it looks like, my favorite comment on all the tweets about it was, is he farting? It looks like he has resting stink face.
No, he doesn't. That's not.
He looks like he's looking too. He looks like he's looking 200 yards across the lawn, and he just watched a PFC walk over a piece of trash and not pick it up.
Okay, so if we're going to do a fart thing, I think that it looks like he heard somebody fart, and yes, he's looking across the abyss and be like, you nasty little bitch, I can't believe that you would fart in my presence while I'm wearing this Constitution tie.
Right. He looks like there's some sort of fart involved. And wearing a red tie. The only color on the whole thing is a red tie that has the Constitution written on it, or like the signatures from the Constitution. And you're like, okay, I guess that's kind of neat. And then you see all these people tagging it, and they're like, yeah, you can buy that tie for $12.50 online. It's the We the People tie. It's just like...
That's terrible. That is such a terrible look.
He has a little Marine Corps cufflink, which is neat, but like...
What is going on here? That tie is great. What are you guys talking about?
I love
that tie. He's a Constitution guy. He devoted fucking 40 years of his life to being in uniform. To defend the Constitution of the United States. If he wants to wear it on a tie, my friend, tie up a double Windsor and go nuts.
No. He should have had a better tie. This thing is going to hang forever in the halls of the Pentagon.
The Constitution is a pretty good one.
It's like when a dorky history teacher wears to class.
Yes.
That's your what that tie teacher. Is.
No. He should have sprung for like a Ferragamo or Hermes tie.
Thank you, Chap. Or thank you, Cons. I agree. And Chaps, what's the big thing that has people riled up about this picture, though, overall?
Well, I want to say, first of all, before we get into what's riled people up, Cons had one of the worst takes I've ever seen on this entire thing on Twitter.
Go ahead. Bro, you say it. I stand by it, but go ahead.
He's talking about the hands in the pocket because it ruins the suit. Explain yourself, Cons. That was just... an unbelievably douchey answer. Go ahead.
Well, wait, guys, that's what has people riled up. For those who can't see the painting, the thing that has people going is that General Mattis has his hand in his pocket, and when you're in the military, you're not allowed to have your hands in your pocket in uniform, given he's wearing a suit here, so he can, but people are like, look at this Marine with his hand in his pocket. That's like a big deal for Marines. So
Well, I'll take it just even away from that. Aside from the fact that in the military, we're always taught not to have our hands in our pockets. This goes for anybody taking pictures at a wedding or any sort of formal event where you are in a suit. Take your hands out of your pocket. It looks terrible.
Honestly, I agree.
It ruins the integrity of the suit for the photo. The suit should just drape, if it fits you properly, it should drape correctly. And if you have your hands in your pockets, that disrupts the suit. And then therefore you look terrible.
His whole pleat line's thrown off.
Yeah.
Got zigzags in the pleats. Unreal.
Mm-hmm. So I'm very surprised, especially given his 43 years of service to the Marine Corps, that he would opt to put his hand in his pocket for this photo.
One, I'm going to put my hands in my pocket every time I'm wearing a suit. And especially if you're in the picture with me, Cons, we're going to be hands in the pockets all the time, even though I'm not a big hands in the pocket or umbrella type of guy. It's just who I'm going to be. Two, he's in civilian attire, so everybody needs to chill out. I actually wish that they would have him in uniform, because he was one of the only secretaries of defense to go and be in, like, right after he got out. So I kind of wish that he was actually still in uniform to be there, because I always envisioned him in uniform. I think he's still known as General Mattis. He'll be like one of those guys that's like Colin Powell. Nobody ever calls Colin Powell Secretary Powell. They all call him General Powell. And it'll be the same thing with Mattis. So I love the tie. I'm going to order it the next time we go somewhere too. Hands in the pockets, and I'm going to be wearing that tie. That's a promise.
I'm just lazy. That's all.
I'll leave it up to our listeners. You can go through the photos and you can choose who you take your suit and picture advice from. Chaps, Mr. Moose Man, or myself.
I mean, are we going to do pit stains? Is that going to be part of it too?
Buddy.
Or somebody has the confidence to know when to shave their head?
Buddy. If you want to be ugly, I'll get ugly. I was keeping it above board, but if you want to stoop down that low, we can do it. It's up to you.
All right, let's just move on to round two. I'll be the what? What did he say?
I said with those ugly ass shoes you wore in Hawaii.
Those shoes were fantastic. And by the way, I didn't step on a single rock and cut myself all over the lava rocks, which made it worth it, because PPE is important, Mr. West Point. I think you would know that. PPE actually matters.
All right, maybe we should move on before we divulge even further.
Yeah, let's move on. For round number two, we're going to talk about Lieutenant Colonel Robert Friend, who passed away last week at the age of 99. You might recognize the name because he's one of the more famed Tuskegee airmen. And think about this, guys. Think about the legend that this dude is, to go from being a Tuskegee airman, one of the Red Tails. He not only fought in World War II, he also fought in Korea, and he also fought in Vietnam. Any of those three war, folks, and you don't see very many of them, there's not a ton of them. What unbelievable badasses those people were, right? I mean, I can't even imagine.
There's definitely only a small amount, because you'd have to be the exact right age, and then on top of that, decide to spend your career in the military to even be present for those three wars.
Just to fight in World War II and be like, you know what, I'm going to re-enlist or I'm going to stay on board. That's a tough decision, because think about, like, when we watch Band of Brothers, a lot of those folks didn't stay in. And then to go from that and to Korea and be like, you know what, I haven't had enough yet after World War II and Korea. I'm going to keep going. It can't get much worse. And then you go to Vietnam.
Yeah, 28 years he was in the Air Force. And he was also an incredibly, incredibly intelligent man. After he got out, he worked on space launch vehicles and served as a foreign technology program director before retiring as a lieutenant colonel and starting his own aerospace company. So he was this guy above and beyond. Really impressive.
And Friend flew 142 combat missions just during World War II. And he always reminded people, because of the movie, I think it's Red Tails, wasn't it, Cons? Like with Cuba Gooding Jr.?
Yes, that's the name of the movie, yes.
They talked primarily about the African-American population that was in Tuskegee Airmen, but in a lot of his interviews that Robert Friend did, he would also make mention that it wasn't just African-Americans in the Tuskegee Airmen, it was anyone of color. So if you had somebody who was Mexican, or you had somebody who was Japanese, or and they wanted to join, they also went to Tuskegee to go. And we can't do it justice, but you know whose voice is smooth and interesting, and he did do a little documentary on it. It's our guy Morgan Freeman. So listen to Morgan Freeman. He could walk you through the story of what I order at McDonald's, and it would sound unbelievable.
It would sound
every day he ordered one chicken McNugget.
It would be very compelling.
I'm going with Fran Drescher. I want people to be startled when her voice comes on to tell my story. I want people to be like, what?
Oh, that's a good one. Cons, who are you picking to narrate your story?
Paint, oh, my goodness.
The cubes in other people's houses.
Certainly, Morgan Freeman comes to mind. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else who I could think of. I might have
Steve
to.
Steve Buscemi. I went on a prison tour once, narrated by Steve Buscemi. He crushed it. You couldn't tell his bug eyes were bugging.
Oh, no. You
know his voice.
Here, you know who I would have? He's the guy who does the narration for 24/7, and he's in Ray Donovan. I'm blanking on his name right now. Somebody help me out. Liev Schreiber. I think that would be a good one.
No idea who that is. I thought you were going to pick Gilbert Gottfried. I thought that was Cons was going to have. And then he went to West Point.
That would be great. Just two real points about the Red Tails. Tuskegee Airmen. Number one of the all-time best nicknames for a unit ever, the Red Tails.
Yeah.
Is Tuskegee Airmen. And number two, it just anytime we talk about this unit, it always blows me away that there was a point in our history where we thought people of color couldn't do things just as well, if not better, than white people just because they were people of color, when this obviously wasn't true.
The stories we've been covering lately on ZBT, there's still morons that think that.
Oh, I know. It's unbelievable to me.
But yeah. I mean, really, I think the biggest thing is that to go and do those incredible things they did and then to come home and be treated like second-class citizens was just – I can't imagine how that felt. But and stories are really important to tell.
And I would say, to your point, Cons, at a largest point – most of the points of our history, we thought that. Like, that's what America thought. Like, it wasn't until recently until we – started to move away from that, which is fucking unbelievable. It's terrible. Let's move on to round three. Round number three, we're going to talk a little bit about the VA. I think over the overall attitude towards the VA is that everybody thinks it's bad. A majority of the time you get bad things. I want to give them a little bit of credit though. Like before I went on vacation to Hawaii, I got a note in the mail that said that I had been selected to do mental health care from home. Like, so I don't even have to go into my VA anymore. They give you a encrypted portal that you can talk to your mental health care provider, kind of like we're doing right now via Skype or via Zoom or whatever. And you can talk to your counselor without ever having to leave home. If they figure that out and they allow the veterans to do that, and you just have a bank of psychologists who you're personal psychologist is there and you could talk to him on the screen, that is going to be life-changing for people,
especially for rural and remote veterans, right? Who it's a long haul for them to get anywhere they need to go, kind of. So
yeah,
but even beyond the logistics of it, I think so often, at least for me, when I go to the VA, there's a small portion of me that just kind of gets a little sad just because it is a depressing place sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I would imagine that pervasive attitude would prevent people from even going to get the help. So if they can get it in the comfort of their own home, I think a lot more people would be inclined to reach out and see if they can get that help.
And that's what Dan Caldwell and his organization is trying to do. Listen to this interview and put yourself in that position. If you're a veteran or if you're on active duty, put yourself in that position. Would you rather go to the VA or would you rather the VA subsidize, privatize healthcare? Listen to the interview and think and let us know on Twitter. Hit us up on Twitter or Instagram and let us know. I want to go to the VA clinic. I want to go back home, because I think it'd be really interesting to hear from our listeners about that aspect of what you would actually like to do. Here's Dan Caldwell from Concerned Veterans for America. Well, now on Zero Block 30, we have Dan Caldwell. Dan is the senior advisor for the Concerned Veterans of America. Dan, thanks so much for joining us on the show today.
Thank you for having me on.
So let's just jump right into it. I think as a veteran myself, I think one of the biggest downfalls of the VA has been the quality of care. For years, it took months to get an appointment. If you're getting your disability rating, it took months, sometimes even years. What do you think the biggest concern that most veterans that you talk to have with the VA?
Well, in regards to healthcare specifically, and you just alluded to it, it's access to care. Even when there's good quality care available, and in some cases the VA does provide a high level of quality of care, in some cases exceeding the private sector, but the amount of time it takes to get an appointment, the long wait times in many cases, and then the inconvenience for many veterans, especially those that live in rural areas, of having to drive sometimes 3-4 hours to get that care, it's really a whole host of access issues. And those were really exemplified in that waitlist scandal that occurred 5 years ago that started in my hometown of Phoenix, Arizona, where you had veterans literally dying waiting for care, in some cases due to misconduct of VA employees. So that's been the biggest problem with VA healthcare. And you see similar issues with the VA disability system. You've had issues with recently with the GI Bill, is that despite the massive amounts of money the VA has gotten, the massive number of personnel, there's still been problems of getting access to healthcare and other benefits.
And you would think that with the amount of money that we spend, the argument wouldn't exist that it's going to be so much more expensive to send them out in town. Because I know the VA for me, for example, whenever I first got out, I was assigned to a clinic here in San Antonio. If I would have moved to Florida in order to get my reexaminations, I still would have had to come back, and they would have paid for plane tickets, hotels, and all those things. The things that we spend money on at the VA are insane.
That is correct. There is an issue of how the VA allocates its resources and spends money. There's an argument that is made that private care is more expensive than the VA. I think that oftentimes when it's being made, they're using misleading data or they're ignoring other factors. Like you brought up reimbursements for travel. So if you're driving 4 or 5 hours, in many cases, you're getting reimbursed for your mileage. In the case of some veterans like yourself, sometimes they're actually flying you to different parts of the country to get care. Whereas if you are able to access care in the community, while sometimes maybe the services themselves are more expensive, there's a lot of extra costs that don't have to go into providing that veteran care. If the VA does it right and they manage this outside care properly, and they're having the dollars themselves following the veterans and not just going randomly into, you know, a couple different pots of money, the VA could ultimately streamline things and save money.
Do you think there's something to be said about getting your health care with everybody else, like where you're no longer, I don't want to say stigmatized by going to the VA, but it's like you want to be back in society and kind of going to the doctor with, let's just say, the normal folks, right?
So you bring up actually a very interesting issue. And one of the arguments that I hear, you know, when I'm in Washington, D.C., sometimes dealing with other veteran organizations, I don't want to paint anybody with a broad brush because not all veterans organizations are the same or have the same beliefs. But you oftentimes hear that we need to preserve the VA because we need to preserve the camaraderie of the VA. I don't know about you, but I don't find much camaraderie in a hospital waiting room.
Right.
And that's not a place where I really like want to go and have a social experience. I want to get my health care and get better. The primary goal of VA health care should be to ensure the well-being of our veterans and ensure that they're taken care of, especially those that were injured in line of service, whether in combat training or, you know, in garrison. So I think that this argument that we have to preserve the VA because there's this bond among veterans, I can't really think it's kind of ridiculous.
If right.
Veterans can get, yeah,
I definitely I definitely think that there is something to be said for maintaining bond with veterans. But like you said, there is, that doesn't exist in the waiting room waiting to see what's causing your 10 years of diarrhea. I mean, that's not how it goes down, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And at the end of the day, most of the healthcare the VA delivers, about 60% of VA patients and most of the appointments, it's not for service-connected care. It's not for the wounds of war. So if you're getting care for, you know, common ailments, like, you know, you break your arm or something, the private healthcare system is just as well equipped to handle that as the VA system. So it makes sense that you should have that option if you want it.
And there's not very many things that 9 out of 10 veterans agree on, but 9 out of 10 veterans agree on this, that you should be able to go anywhere and get your health care. And I understand that if you want to go to the best doctor in town, the VA might not pay for that. You know, like if you're going to the very best doctor that has the most name recognition, it might not pay for that. Just like other, like TRICARE has those same examples. We already have it in the TRICARE system where you can go out in town. It seems like common sense that the VA would allow you to do it right. as well.
Right. You know, I have pretty good health insurance through Concerned Veterans for America, and I can't go see any doctor. We don't support unfettered healthcare choice. If some call it, meaning you can go anywhere at any time. There's nobody that has that, you know, except for, you know, billionaires that just don't even use insurance.
Right.
So, you know, what we want to give is veterans more options so that they can tailor that care to themselves. And to your point about, you know, 9 out of 10 veterans supporting healthcare choice to the VA, you know, that's something that we found in our polling over the years. Gallup found something similar. And even veterans that like the care they're getting through the VA and would keep going to the VA with a choice, they still want that choice because they know that their circumstances could change, or the VA hospital they're going to could get new management or new employees and the quality of care could decline. So they want that option. So it's pretty consistent. And having a choice, it means literally like that. You have a choice. Like you can choose to stay in the VA. You can choose to still access VA healthcare. And here in DC, when you say choice, the meaning of the word has been lost. And it's like, well, that just means you're going to push people to the private sector. And that's not how choice works.
No, and I think that the VA has improved over the last, I think, 3 or 4 years. The VA has made big strides with a couple of the acts that both President Obama and President Trump have passed in the recent years. For example, right before I went on vacation, I got a letter in the mail that said that I would be able to get mental health care via webcam at my home, where I don't even have to leave, and I could talk to my counselor over webcam instead of having to drive an hour and a half across town and then back and essentially make a mental health care appointment take 5 hours. It'll really take 30 or 45 minutes, which is great.
Yeah, they've made a lot of great strides with the use of telehealth. The choice program that President Obama launched, it was definitely imperfect, but the increased use of community care and private care, I think, you know, indisputably helped lower wait times based on studies that various groups have done. And there have been improvements. This is not 2014 where, you know, some were saying the VA system looks like it's on the verge of collapse. But there's still a lot of work to do. And with some new legislation that has been passed in the past year under President Trump that's now being implemented and rolled out, it's going to be important that the VA get these programs right. Because if they don't, you could regress and go back to the problems that we had 5, 6 years ago. They do get it right, you could really see VA going in a totally new direction, and it could be a really a new era for the agency where it is once again a really top-notch healthcare system.
Over the next 5 years, what would you like to see the VA do to improve the most?
Well, I think the biggest thing is they have to properly implement the VA Mission Act. It's the new broad-based omnibus VA healthcare reform legislation that President Trump signed into law last year. Just a couple weeks ago, they rolled out the new Veterans Community Care Program, where it takes all the different private care, community care programs, whatever you want to call them, and consolidates it into one program. And it creates access standards like you have for TRICARE Prime, which expands eligibility for accessing care in the community. And then it creates urgent care networks, walk-in care clinics, you know, like CVS Minute Clinics and NextCare and things like that. There's now a network of urgent care clinics you can access without authorization from the VA to help get better care. So implementing that, making sure it works right, is critical to ensure the veterans get better access and more timely access to care. And that's going to be important. Beyond that, once that's properly implemented, I think that the VA needs to go to full choice, meaning that you can access a VA contracted provider in the community without that authorization, just like you can with TRICARE Standard or with a normal health insurance plan. I think, like President Trump said, we need to get that place where veterans have full choice. And beyond that, the VA just constantly needs to be saying, okay, what are we doing to serve the veteran population of today and of the future? Because the reality is, even with a lot of the reforms that have occurred over the past 5 years, the VA is really still set up to serve a World War II and Korean era veteran population. Most of our hospitals, for example, are nearly 60 years old. And that's not just an age of the building issue. If you think about it, that's a location issue, because the veteran population used to be a lot larger. So they have to deal with that. They have to realign their infrastructure. And also, too, finally, you're talking about, you know, moving across country. I'm sure that there were some issues with their medical records. They absolutely got to get this electronic health records program right. If they don't do that, they're still going to be stuck in the 1980s when it comes to electronic health records.
I would just be glad if I could get my DD-214 fast. I mean, just that alone. Even if you go to the VA benefits website, it is an absolute nightmare to go through and figure out. But that would be great to get any type of your medical records. Dan, thanks so much for joining us today. We really appreciate what you're doing and what you're doing for veterans.
All right, well, thank you for having me on, and keep up the good work. Really enjoyed this podcast.
That interview was brought to you by our friends at Shady Rays. They're an independent sunglasses company who makes everybody look good, whether you're Cons, whether you're me, whether you're Kate, whether you're Bren, whether you're whoever the fuck you are. You're going to look good while you wear these sunglasses. And the best part about it, if you're down on vacation in the Jersey Shore like Kate, and you're having a good time and riding on your bicycle, and next thing you know, your sunglasses fly off your dome and you smash them and all 158 of your family members roll over your sunglasses, doesn't matter, because they're going to replace them for free. That's right, free. Not a whole lot of the things in the world are free, but the replacement from Shady Rays are free. And you can get two pairs for just $45, which is an unbelievable deal if you use the promo code ZBT. That's basically like buying one, getting one free. It's two pairs for $45. It's shadyrays.com with the promo code ZBT. Go help us out, because when you buy it from them, you help us out too. And we always appreciate that. Let's move on to round number four.
Before we do that, real quickly, Kate, you're down with your family down the Jersey Shore, which is a joint vacation / family reunion, because your dad is one of 19 kids. So there's 88 people. My question to you is, when you guys roll up to the bar, does everyone in the bar already look up and say, uh-oh, it's the Mannions?
Yes, because we come the same week every year and we go to the same bars every year on the same nights. So, yeah.
I honestly thought you were exaggerating with how many people were there when you're like, there's like 150 people here, because you say that. I say there's like 150 people in line at Walmart, and there's never 150 people in line at Walmart. Legitimately, from your Instagram, you said it was like herding cats. It essentially looked like you were putting on like a class photo. There were so many people there.
There's a ton of people here. So a whole lot of sun poisoning happening right now for our very pale family. But yeah, having a good time, crushing those Shady Rays. And if I do, I get a new pair. So either way.
There I go. All right, let's get back into some news of the week. Kate, lead us through round four.
All right. Don't mind if I do. U.S. military cyber forces launched a strike against Iranian military computer systems as President Donald Trump backed away from plans for a more conventional military strike in response to Iran's downing of a U.S. surveillance drone. So they shot down one of our surveillance drones. They've also been fucking with ships out in the Gulf right now and doing all sorts of crazy stuff. And instead of coming at them physically, we called upon our nerds to do their damage. The cyber attacks disabled Iranian computer systems that controlled its rocket and missile launchers. Officials said the attacks, which specifically targeted Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps computer system, were provided as options after Iranian forces blew up two oil tankers earlier this month. Now, that's all well and good, getting in there and disabling their rockets and all that stuff. But I feel like the biggest way we could really hurt their military and slice their morale apart is if we got into all the soldiers' social media accounts. Mm. We disabled their accounts. We make them lose all their beloved photos. Mm. They got to start brand new with a whole new following. We slide into the DMs of the girls they like and ruin the relationship. We send mean things to their moms so they get phone calls from their moms. I feel like we could do a lot more damage personally if we hacked into the enlisted.
That would be cyber chaos is what that would amount to.
Yeah. I mean, but it's a good – think about if you did that – honestly, if you did that to, say, the Army now, if you got a hold of everybody on Fort Bragg, for example, everybody on Fort Bragg's social media account, and you deleted all of their Twitter followers, all of their Instagram pictures, mm-hmm. all of the things, and then commented negatively on other people's stuff, there would be legitimate mass chaos. Yeah. People wouldn't be able to concentrate because they'd be like, oh my God, my social life is fucked.
Yeah, it really is terrible how addicted and just chained to all the social media we are these days. And just, I mean, going back to what we did to Iran, that really is very productive to just take down the computer systems. Because I feel like so often now people don't even learn the old school way of doing things. They're just coming up learning the way to do things via computers. So if you disable that, you really just completely crush people. So if you started messing with our people's social media, it would bring us to our knees.
Now, let me ask you guys a question. Would you rather get hit in the face with a Patriot missile or lose all your Twitter followers?
Patriot missile to the face. Any day. I'm not starting again. I'm not starting up from the beginning. Just
our guy Ken Jack from Lights Camera Barstool. If you don't if you don't follow that, if you like movies, you should follow their podcast. Him going down from 28,000 to zero is such a kick in the dick, man.
Yep. Right.
That is a rough look. But I mean, it is better than shooting down pilots, I guess, and doing all the other things. I just don't want to go to a war with Iran, man.
No.
Like, well, you know what?
Just take a break.
Also, don't think people realize, because it says in the story, like, it came down to, like, it was kind of a last-minute decision because there was other options on the table, and some of those options were actual, like, physical violence type thing. And I love this line. President Trump said Friday morning that the United States military had been cocked and loaded for a strike against Iran on Thursday night, but called it off with 10 minutes to spare when a general told him that 150 people would probably die in the attack. So that's a huge deal, first of all. But I hate that I read that, and instead of being like, oh my God, we almost legit, like, war, I was like, he said cocked and loaded instead of locked and loaded.
I think cocked and loaded makes more sense, because even if you do it, you have to pull it back and you're essentially like cocking the weapon, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Marines are cocked. Maybe it is cocked and loaded.
It should be cocked and loaded.
And
well, either way, the Marines are totally cocked.
Yeah.
As per usual.
It's cocked on an M9, probably not on like a aircraft carrier. I don't think they actually have to, like, a double hammer pull. I don't think that actually happens on an aircraft carrier, but that's neither here nor there. Let's move on to round five. Round number five, like I said last week, we are also pumped about going to Fort Bragg for Rough and Rowdy. We want to make sure that you guys have the opportunity to go. If you live in the Fort Bragg area, go get your tickets to go actually go to it.
And July 19th.
July 19th is when it's going to be. And all three of us, all four of us, will be down in Fayetteville to do a live Barstool Radio. We're going to have 3 hours where we're going to be at the bar doing the live weigh-in, doing all kinds of shit. It's going to be a really good time. We're going to have like Big Cat and Dave and a whole bunch of people are going to be showing up too. So it'll be a great time. Can't wait for that. I would be remiss though if I didn't issue Big Cat a big time warning, because he usually does the national anthem, and those who have watched Rough and Rowdy know that's one of the highlights is when Big Cat does it, because my friend has a beautiful, beautiful set of pipes. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, it's. Mm-hmm. I'll say Goosebump City. Goosebump City when he sings the national anthem, and the whole room just, you stand a little bit taller after you hear it. But he has voiced to me in the office genuinely that he feels more nervous for this one because there's going to be so many troops there, mm-hmm. and you don't want to mess up the national anthem. You never want to mess it up, but especially in the presence of active duty military, I feel like you really feel that pressure and you want to do well for them. So, yeah, no big deal. But
I feel like that Big Cat was at a spot where when we were at the Army-Navy game and we had a fella who put on quite the show. So for those of you that didn't get to watch that live show when we were with the college football show, here's a little idea of what was saying at the Army-Navy game.
I respect the guy for trying, but it was too much. My high school basketball coach used to say about anthems, the people who try to do too much always end up failing. So if you add extra things into the rendition, it's never going to sound good. Just sing the notes, do it. Don't try to be extra. And that guy would be a little extra.
People get real, real. Speaking of, there's been celebrities throughout the years who people never forget once somebody butchers the national anthem, people mm-hmm. don't forget it and they never live it down. It was in 1990 that Roseanne sang the national anthem and she screeched her way through it at an MLB game and people thought she was doing it on purpose. She said she just started in too high of a key. I don't know if that's the case.
I don't buy that because she did at the end of it.
Then Michael Bolton wrote the lyrics on his palm during a 2003 Red Sox-Yankees game, and fans flipped out when they saw him check his hand for the line, Twilight's Last Gleaming. They, like, lost their marbles. If there's
That's not fair, because if he would have forgotten, and I think that that's a pressure thing to get all the words right, like, if you are singing, when a man loves a woman, then I don't think it matters if you mess up a couple words, but the national anthem, you have to get it right.
But he has like 20 million songs that he remembers. I think he could remember the national anthem. And it's Michael Bolton.
He should have practiced it enough to wear it.
I want that to be a drop somewhere. And it's Michael Bolton.
It's Michael Bolton, that no talent ass clown. And speaking of doing way too much, both R. Kelly and Steven Tyler are guilty of that. R. Kelly sang the national anthem at a boxing match and got booed when he added a ton of extra synth backbeats and hand clapping. There was a whole lot of hand clapping done that really threw people off. And then one of my favorites is just thinking of the audience, Steven Tyler of Aerosmith at the Indy 500 in 2003. That's a patriotic crowd. He basically shouted it instead of singing it. And then in the middle, he just did a long random harmonica solo that threw everybody off. So, yeah, there's definitely people who are like, they're remembered for how.
If you go to a big sporting event and they have one type of anthem, what type are you disappointed with? For me, to give you an idea what I mean by that, anytime it's an electric guitar anthem, I'm out automatically. I'm like, yes. This fucking stinks.
Anytime it's just with an instrument.
World War II vet blew everybody's dicks off with his harmonica one the other.
See, there's exceptions to the rule.
Yeah, that's the exception for sure. I mean,
you guys hate old veterans.
If it was somebody who just came back from Afghanistan and they were playing a harmonica, I might boo him. Like, I might. Like, I don't want to hear that shit. Better be at least 90.
Yeah, anyone not old enough to remember and be at World War II doesn't get the pass on the harmonica like that gentleman.
Yeah, if you are over, I'll put the over under here at 78. See if you agree. No, 79. If you're over 79, playing the harmonica is adorable. If you're under, you're a fucking weirdo.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Another national anthem I hate. This is going to sound mean. Kids are great. I don't want to see a chorus of kids singing it. Don't give me a chorus of little kids singing it. Whoa. Give me a star who can just crush it and give me those goosebumps that I need.
Yeah, but usually they don't put kids out there unless they can actually sing. So I guess Kate just hates kids.
Yeah, there is a little bit of Kate hating kids, which is disappointing seeing that she's Annie Katie on this vacation that she's on. Feels like she's been around her nieces and nephews a little bit too much.
Every time they start singing, I cut it off.
It does remind me of my mother-in-law who once got really upset at her church whenever they had children singing with the adults, and she said that having mixed choir of adults and children was an abomination to the Lord. So
all right, a little much.
I agree.
All right. I wasn't sure if I was going to share this or not, and hopefully I don't know if I'm debating whether or not I should tell Dan, but I have it on good authority from one of my buddies who's a commander down at Fort Bragg who plans to be going to the fights with a bunch of guys from his unit. And a bunch of his guys from his unit have already promised to throw things at Dan if he messes up the anthem.
Oh. So, he's a new dad.
Well, yeah, you can't do that to him. He's going to be on little sleep. It's little cat's going to be meowing throughout the night.
You better find some time to practice.
You better. It's going to be an exciting time. We're looking forward to it. Again, make sure you go to buy Rough and Rowdy 9. If you normally buy
rnr.com.
Yeah, buy rnr.com. And if you want to fight, go to joinrnr.com. Even if you can't do it this time and you want to fight later on down the road, you can still go to joinrnr.com. Buy this one. If you normally don't buy it and you're on the fence, buy it because it helps us out. It's not often that ZBT is like the focal point of Barstool, and it feels good to be that. So help us out. Buy rnr.com. Any save rounds or alibis?
Kate?
I don't think so. I think, you know, we have a big week this week coming up. We're traveling all over the place. So it's nice that we'll all be together in Ohio on Friday. So I'm just looking forward to that. And I have a I'm excited for you guys to see my sunburn in person. I have completely fried my nose. I would have gotten charged under the UCMJ this week for letting my skin get so terribly burned. So
yeah, I sent a text to put on sunscreen, and that text went very much ignored.
Yeah, so I can't eat hot wings right now. My lips are too burned. Terrible time.
Jeez. Ugh. Cons?
Real quick, a lot of weekends in the summer, it's just easier to have a car. I don't have a car because of where I live. It doesn't make financial sense or even sense to park. I have a building I can park in, but nevertheless, it doesn't make financial sense to have my own car. So I rent cars often, and this weekend, the only car they had available was a Mustang convertible, and I now know what it feels like to be a young PFC. It was a lot of fun.
Hell yeah.
Well, and I know I made fun of you in the group text about that you are boot for driving a Mustang convertible. But when I was in Hawaii, they offered me a Camaro SS that was a convertible.
Yeah.
And I was like, because I just had like this mid-sized sedan that I was going to rent to drive up to the North Shore. And I look over and it's sitting there. It was on like 20-inch rims. It was like very Hawaii. And I was like, you know what? This would be a nice little thing to cruise in. I was like, how much is it? And they were like, it's $60. And my normal one from the military rate was like 52.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, $8 more and cruising around in a convertible. That's a no-brainer whenever you're going up to the North Shore for the day. And then it turns out it was $60 on top of my already existing. Oh. And I was like, I'm not that into driving a convertible where I'm going to pay $120 a day.
Yeah.
No thanks, guy.
Texas a couple weeks ago, I had a white Mustang convertible and I was hitting 120 on the back hill country. And I was like, I get it. I finally get it now. This is fucking sick.
Wait a minute. You had a Mustang convertible and you didn't take a single picture and post it?
Yep. Not a single one. I had a white, brand new, like 2019 white Mustang convertible, and I was being reckless as fuck in the back hill country.
Honestly, the fact that you didn't drive that vehicle straight to a recruiter station and take a picture is disappointing.
Huge failure on my part. Huge failure. Yes.
Okay. And then real quick, chaps, you were golfing this week and you put out some pictures of your purple golf glove and purple grips.
Love.
Me from 5 years ago, I would have had different thoughts, but now I'm just like, you know what? Whatever makes you happy, makes you happy. But would you like to address that at all?
The purple golf? Yeah, I just do what I like. I think that is the ultimate stunt of anybody. Like, I like purple, so I'm going to wear purple. Now, because I was out there, there was this big military event at my golf course this weekend, and there was probably 200 dudes that were golfing. Mm-hmm. Every single one of the bags, without question, was black or gray.
Right.
Every single one. Let's not be conformist, fellas. If you want to have brighten it up, look at this bag that I got sitting right here in the back.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Green and white polka dots. It's beautiful. I forgot to take it down to my course this weekend to get it loaded up in the new courses. Imagine what people are going to think in Texas, mind you. I live in San Antonio, Texas. When I show up to my golf course, I pull out my irons that have lilac purple grips and my bright purple glove, and I get out there and I smoke the ball. That's what it's all about to me.
Well, the golf hardos like to come out of the woodwork and say, like, oh, if you're not a one handicap, you shouldn't be that loud on the golf course. And I kind of might have used to subscribe to that years ago, but I've since softened on that. And I just, like you said, chaps, whatever makes you happy, man. If that makes you happy. Because also, too, I'm very much – I like to have a little bit of a unique look on the golf course and conforming to the plain and boring styles and colors that normal people have on the golf course is old and
boring. I actually, because people look at me and they're like, oh, I have way worse, terrible handicap and I'm a woman. And I like to send them, I just put my clubs in a trash bag. And I just drag a trash bag full of clubs across the course on the ground.
That makes me want to throw up. There is a fucking limit.
Yeah, that's a little terrible. I don't know what kind of courses you're playing at.
I don't even wear pants. Clean that up. Honestly, I just don't even wear pants.
And the bad part is I would not be surprised to see you have like your stuff in like a duffel bag and you're dragging it across. You're like, doing like the drag, like your Instagram dragging it across, like you're going, getting some old dude named Carl to take your Instagram picture real quick. I could totally see that.
And then just last thing real quick, the next iteration of the Barstool Classic on July 15th, all proceeds are going to the Headstrong Project.
Woo-hoo!
So shout out to Commissioner Riggs for teaming up with the Headstrong Project to raise money for them.
And I have an announcement to make concerning my wallet. Brennan and I detailed it a lot last week on radio, where I lost my entire wallet in Hawaii.
I had no idea, by the way.
Yeah, I had to do it, and I lost my cards, my ID card, my military ID card, my driver's license, essentially everything. I looked around. I had to order my birth certificate overnight, which cost like $75. Finally got a temporary license. Sunday morning, I got a call from United, and they said that they had found my wallet.
Yes!
They found it, and it had – I was in seat like 9, like one of the first seats in Economy Plus. They found it in the back, underneath, like where the toilet is, like all the way in the back. Somehow on this international flight, it had gone all through everybody's bag somehow, all the way to the back where it was underneath right by the toilet. And whenever they do like a deep clean on the weekend, somebody found it. All the money was still in there, everything. Wow. So it's sitting in the lost and found in Newark right now.
Wow. Crazy. Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah. What a great story.
Well, yeah. I hope we can go through the last time.
I fucking canceled everything, and now I have it back. I wish they would have found it a little bit earlier, but at least I'm not going to get my identity stolen because it's in good hands now.
True. Whew.
All right. Well.
Hey.
Cool. Sound the retreat.